פייג' נון בית, עמוד בית. Something like 13 line from the top. On the right side you can see the Tosfot Pirurin. And then in the Gemara it's written Bet Shammai Omrim Mekaneach Vechulei. Bet Shammai are saying that the person is allowed to dry his hands and the towel and to put it on top of the table, above the table. Bet Hillel are saying on the pillow. Means you're allowed to dry it with the towel, your hands, but now the soaked, the wet towel, don't put it on top of the table, just put it on a pillow. This is the opinion of Bet Hillel. Tanu Rabbanan. Now we're going to learn a braita on that subject. Bet Shammai Omrim. Bet Shammai are saying, Mekaneach Yadav Bamapa. A person allowed to dry his hands in a towel. Umanicha ala shulchan. Put it on top of the table. Sheim ata omer ala keset. Because Bet Shammai are afraid to say to put it on a pillow. Why? Pillow means a different chair, a different pillow means not on the table. They're afraid. Why are they afraid? Gzera, a decree. Shema yitam'u mashkin sheba mapa, that maybe the liquids that are now soaked inside the towel, they're going to be contaminated mechamat hakeset, because of the pillow. On the pillow, a person is not watching so much like that he's watching on his table. Maybe the pillow is contaminated. So now if the pillow is contaminated, the liquids, means the water that he dried from his hands, gonna be contaminated because of the pillow. ויחזרו ויתאמו את הידיים, and then when he's going to try to clean his hands or something during the meal, those liquids are going to contaminate his hands. And now he's going to eat, and he's going to contaminate the food that he's eating, and he's going to contaminate it, the food himself. No, again. No good.
Pillow, if he touches the pillow, the pillow's
contaminated. This is a question. It's another question. It's the next question.
But what if Azav or Anita?
Patience of Avram, you're in Eretz Israel already. Eretz Israeli, Eretz Israel, Erech Apayim. Relax. Hashem is with us. Now we can rest.
What if Azav or Anita sat on the pillow beforehand?
This is something very, very strong. For sure it's contaminated. For sure, this is Tumah Mideoraita. Here we're talking decree. When you're saying decree, it means Tumah Miderabanan. Second level of Tumah. It's a gzera. It's a decree Miderabanan. We're afraid. We have a doubt. Maybe. So it's a decree Miderabanan. It's not a contamination Mideoraita. Like Zav, Ziva, Nida. It's not something like that. Bal Keri. It's not in that. When they're saying decree, it means Chachamim made a decree. A decree means in the Rabbanan, means a certain obligation that Rabbanan gave us. So the Gemara is asking the question of Rav Avram, Venitam Yekeset, Lama Pa? You're afraid, right? Or a jam? Yes. Venitam Yekeset. Keset Lamapa, you want to say that the pillow gonna contaminate the towel? Ein kli mitamekli, a vessel cannot contaminate a vessel. Venitam yekesed legavra gufe. Let's say that the pillow, if it's contaminated, is going to contaminate the man himself. The man is taking the towel from the pillow, he's touching the pillow for sure. So what's the why you need to talk about the liquids that's inside the towel that's gonna be contaminated, and when he because of the pillow, and then when he's gonna touch the towel, so the liquid's gonna contaminate him. Let's say that if the pillow is contaminated, that it's gonna contaminate the man's hand, the man himself. Why to talk all of that long journey? Let's make it short. Ein kli metame adam, because a vessel cannot contaminate a man. A vessel is holding contamination in a low level, and it cannot contaminate a man. Uvet Hillel, okay, this is the opinion of Bet Shammai. This is why Bet Shammai are saying not to put on the pillow, just to put it straight on the table. Uvet Hillel omrim, but Bet Hillel are saying...
Excuse me, isn't the table also considered a keli?
What?
The shulchan could be considered a keli also?
It is, but we haven't talked yet so on a contaminated table.
The point of Bet Shammai is now, what's the difference of... a cushion has a keli and a table has a keli.
They, like I said before, that we said that the person is not watching on his pillow like that he's watching on his table. A table, a person is guarding him more than he's guarding a pillow. You can find a pillow thrown in the corner of the house, I don't know what, and you're going to look for that pillow because it's a pillow, you're using it. But the table, it's like an altar. People are eating on the table. Don't put this, don't put that. And especially in those days, that rules of purity and contamination were mamash discussed. It was on the table. It was so they were watching those things very, very much, especially on the table. Okay. This is why Bet Shammai are saying to put on the table and not to put on the pillow. Alright? Because they're afraid that the pillow can contaminate. They have a decree, they're afraid from that pillow. They have an issue with pillows and they're afraid of that. Alright?
There's an argument against that.
What?
That it doesn't contaminate.
Again?
We just read that even if he does put it on the pillow, it doesn't matter. It can't.
It does. This is why they're saying to put it on
the
table.
Can't contaminate a vessel, and it can't contaminate a man.
No, but we learned it. Yes, but we learned no. This is when we ask why the pillow is not going to contaminate the man himself. On that we said, a vessel cannot contaminate a man. Great, but it's not the answer on our sugya. Our sugya was talking about a wet towel. But the liquid that's on the towel can contaminate the man. Like we learned yesterday. That liquid, there is a decree on liquids that they are contaminating. So, if now the pillow was contaminated and the liquids touched it, so they're contaminated. And now they're touching the hand, so the hand is going to be contaminated. But not because of the vessel. Not the vessel contaminated the man. Just the liquids that's on the towel been contaminated from the pillow. And now they're contaminating the man. Alright. And Bet Hillel Uvet Hillel Omrim are saying, Al hakeset, put it on the pillow. Just don't put it on the table. Bet Hillel are saying. Why? Sheim ata omer al ha-shulchan. Because if you're saying to put it on the table, like Bet Shammai, Bet Hillel disagree with Bet Shammai. Gzera, we have to put a decree here. We're afraid. Shema yitam'u mashkim shebamapa. That maybe the liquids that's on the towel gonna be contaminated mechamata shulchan, because of the table. Bet Shammai are afraid more from the contamination of the table than from the contamination of the pillow. Because the contamination of the table is more important to us. Why? If it's contaminated, it can contaminate the food more easily. So for Bet Hillel, Lemaise, they're more afraid from the table. Or maybe it's less often, maybe it's more rare to happen. But from that we're afraid. This is something really dangerous. It can contaminate the food very easily. This is they're finding a better reason to make the decree on the table than to make it on the pillow. Alright, the pillow more often can be contaminated, but it's farther than from the food. It's not so connected to the food, but the table. On the table we want to discuss.
But they're worried about maybe because your hands might be contaminated. Water on the cloth.
Soon they're going to explain exactly. So now they're going to mamash going to explain the details
how. We're only talking about Hulin. What about Kodesh and Truma? And
who said that we're talking just about Hulin?
It's about halfway down. This is.
We're not there yet, right?
Okay.
What's contaminating what? The towel just contaminating the table, or the table the towel?
That's it. Let's see. On both sides. ובית הלל אומרים על הכסת, and בית הלל are saying it's better to put that napkin, that towel on the pillow and not on the table. Why? שאם אתה אומר על השולחן, because if you're saying to put it on the table, גזרה שמה יתאמו משקים שבמפה, it's a decree, we're afraid that maybe the liquids that inside the towel gonna be contaminated mechamata shulchan because of the table. Now the table is contaminated. They're afraid of a contaminated table. V'yachzeru v'yitam'u et ha'ochalim. And now those liquids gonna contaminate the food. Now you have a napkin. You have a towel on the table. It's not a problem to put the bread very close to the towel. And now the bread is going to be contaminated. We're afraid of that very much. Bet Hillel are saying. So they're saying, you know, all right, contamination, yes, no, everywhere else except on the table. Put it on the pillow. Let's see what's going to be. But at least it's here. It's not on the table. It's not much touching the food. The hands, you touched it. Oh, there is still time that you're going to wake up and go and wash your hands. And now you can continue eating. No problem. But if you're putting the towel on the table, Bet Hillel are saying, it already touched the food. This is it. What you're going to do now? You cannot stop. This is it. The food contaminated. You cannot purify food. You have to burn it. This is it. There's nothing to do. This is the opinion of Bet Hillel, and we haven't finished Bet Hillel's yet. It's a decree, we're afraid that maybe the liquids that's in that towel means liquids of water that we dried our hands and soaked the towel after Netilat Yadayim, and that touched the table, and the table is contaminated, and now the liquids of the towel going to be contaminated from the contaminated table and going to pass the contamination to the food, to bread, to fruits, to whatever. Page Nun Bet, Amud Bet. Velita meshulchan leochalin shebetocho. And velita meshulchan leochalin shebetocho. So if you're saying that the table is contaminated, it's a kushia, it's a question of the Gemara on Bet Hillel. If you're saying to me that the table is contaminated, so now you're afraid that the table is going to contaminate the liquids inside the towel and then going to pass the contamination to the food? Let's say that the table itself is going to contaminate the food that's on the table. There is bread. You said there is bread. The table is contaminated. You need a towel and water. The bread is on the table. Let's say that the table is contaminated. The bread. Why do you need all of that story of the table and the liquids? We're talking on a table that's in the second level of contamination and not the first. First, it means, like we said yesterday, we have few levels of contamination. And when it's written number one, it means closest to the contamination, to the source of contamination, to Mekora Tuma. Second, it's less. Third, it's less. Less contaminated. But if you have, for an example, a food that is holier than the other, means Truma or Maser Sheni, they are higher than Chulin. Chulin is regular food. So Chulin is in the level of one. What it means? That only one can contaminate it. But second will not going to contaminate it. But Maser Sheni, that it's in the level of second, will be contaminated also from a lower Tum'a, means a Tum'a that's in the second level, that it's a little bit farther than the from the source of the Tum'a, the number one. Truma, it's a third level, and it's more sensitive to be contaminated. And even from something that touched something that came to the third level, it's going to be contaminated. Kodshim, it's the fourth one. And it's going to be contaminated from everything. You got it? One of you are going to say yes?
We carried that in Hagiga.
What?
We carried this in Hagiga.
Hagiga, right?
I think David Katz knows that.
David Katz now is in Thailand.
Yes,
he's making nefeshot, souls, that the nefesh asher asu b'charan. He's now making souls in Haran.
Yeah.
He's inside a Jewish house. He's a Mashpiach Kashrut, supervisor on Kashrut over there.
Oh,
in a Jewish house, Mashpiach. An influator. Yes, he's a Mashpiach of Breslev now in a Beit Yudin in Thailand. We hope he's going to come back soon. So, Bezrat Hashem again. We have source of Tuma. We have source of Tuma. The source of Tuma, and I'm explaining it very generally because also me, I'm not a specialist in those halachot of Tuma betara. Just by pshat, from above, we have a source of Tuma. Let's say it's here, in the level of the table. Now, there are things, now we have the cause to the contamination, and we have things that can be contaminated. And we have the volume of contamination, we have the power of the contamination. The power of contamination is become to be weaker and weaker when it's become to be farther than from the source of the tumor. Means, if now someone died, and someone now touched him. So he touched the source of Tum'ah. A dead man is a source for the Tum'ah. Or a Zav, or a Sheretz, a dead animal, is a source for the Tum'ah. If someone touched it, so that was Ava Tum'ah, that person becomes to be number one. He becomes to be the most Tameh that can be after the source of the Tum'ah, the father of Tum'ah, Ava Tum'ah. If he's going to touch something else, it's going to become to be second. If he's holding a knife in his hand, or a spoon, or fork, that becomes to be a second. If he puts it on the table becomes to be third. Alright? Yes.
Can tumma be passed even when something's dry, or it has to be wet too, if it has to be wet?
Alright, so for sure, tumma can pass without liquids. It's downgraded, and liquids, I think, I'm not sure about it, maybe someone that knows better than me knows, maybe, that I think that liquids, when they're passing the contamination, they're keeping it in the same place. What it means, instead of become to be third from second, it's going to stay second when it's going to pass. It's like, it moves very fast, like electricity on water. It's running, you understand? So it came to the same level. I think, I'm not sure about that halakha. I know that there are situations that for sure it's like that. Like we said on liquids, that they are contaminating in second. Always, we have that rule, that liquids, it's a decree in the Rabbanan, that they're contaminating second.
So we always like dry our hands before or
very important. also, today in this generation, we're not afraid from all of those rules of contamination and purity. We don't have them. Until we're going to have the ashes of red cow, we're not afraid of all of those rules to mind Tara. But still, we're keeping those halachot. All right. Now, if there is a certain... Now, there are few things that can be contaminated. There are vessels, there are clothes, there are human beings, there are earthenware vessels, there are wooden, stable vessels, like library, like a table, things that are not moving, stable. They have different halachot of contamination. If there is, for an example, a library that connected to the wall, it's become to be like the wall. It will not be contaminated. Why? And it's a decree in the Rabbanan. You cannot purify it. You cannot purify it. You cannot drag it to the mikveh. So it cannot be contaminated also. Because it's a wooden vessel that is stable, that is not moving. And also stone like that. If you have a bench that is heavy, that is standing somewhere attached, it's not receiving contamination. If someone, the most contaminated man in the world, sat on it, it's not receiving tumah. It's part of the ground, part of the earth. It will not going to receive tumah. Now, on food, we have four levels of purity. The highest, it's kochim. The sacrifices, in the highest level of sacrifices, it's kochim. They are in the fourth level. It means that their sensitivity to receive tum'ah is the highest. It means that even something came to the third level from the source of tum'ah, farthest that it can be, it's still stronger than kochim, because kochim is four, and he become to be third, so he gonna contaminate it. Because he's so sensitive to receive tumah. Truma, that it's third level, that it's donation that we give to the Kohanim. So it's third. It will not going to be contaminated for a third from the tumah, just from second. Me'aser sheni, it's second. It will not going to be contaminated from a second, just from only from first. From first one to touch the source of tumah. And the first is going to be contaminated only from Ava Tum'ah, from source of Tum'ah, from a dead man. Alright? From something, a Nida, or a Zav, Zava, Bal Keri. People that have the contamination themselves, they're Tme'im, they're contaminated. Now they're touching that Chulin, that it's number one, to the Tum'ah, they're contaminating it. This is the only way. Belin Eder, Sheretz touched it. Alright? So you don't understand. Let's continue with the sugya again.
Why do you put the towel on the table or the sofa? Why they not wash
hands? They are washing, but they use the towel to clean their hands during the suda also. They don't have one hand close to the sink and another one rolled in the glass.
The same towel and they wash hands and then
yes, every person have towel. He's got a towel and he's using the towel. He's drying his hands, he's cleaning his hands, he's washing his hands and drying.
Everyone has their own towel.
I don't know. Maybe it's also a towel for one of the tables. It's a table. Or maybe everyone have his own towel. We're going to discuss on a regular, normal situation that the man has got his own towel. He just made Netilat Yadayim.
His towel.
Then he dried his hands with his towel. Now he's taking the towel with him to the table because he needs to use it. Now the argument, of course, what's the problem? If it's pure and everything is pure, so also the liquids that's on the towel are pure.
They talk about now when you put the towel on the table.
We're afraid. We're afraid that maybe the table is contaminated. We're afraid that maybe...
Not the towel.
No. The towel soaked with water. Now water, like we said, receives tum'ah very fast. So if the sofa or the pillow or the table contaminated, we have an issue with that towel. Because the liquids receive the tum'ah from the pillow, receive the tum'ah from the table. Why? Like we said, it's a decree mid the Rabbanan that water are holding the contamination in the second level. All right.
cost me to wash the
second hand. Level, it's very contaminating. It's very strong. It contaminates third, truma. It contaminates kodshim very fast. It's not contaminating chulin. It's not contaminating Master Rishon.
A myth.
No. Met is Avi Avot HaTumah. Avi Avot HaTumah. Eliyahu is right. A dead man, is his level of Tumah is even worse than source of Tumah. There is source of Tumah, that it's Sheret, that it's Zav, Zava, Nida. They are source of Tumah. Baal Keri. But a dead man, he is Avi Avot HaTumah. He is... The one that's going to touch him, he becomes to be the source of Tumah. Alright? That's strong. Even stronger than the regular Tumot. Alright?
A person who does Tarot, so he has to go to the mikvah, he has to cleanse himself because he becomes Tameh?
Yes.
You need the power of Tumah.
Right.
Normally, what we do is just tilat studayim after putting the body into the casket.
That's right.
Tilat yadayim today is enough because you cannot purify yourself from the tumah of the. The tumah that you purify yourself when you're washing your hands, it's not from the tumah at met. From that, you cannot. People are born into this world contaminated with the tumah already. You don't need to touch a dead man to be. Also in books of Hasidut it's written, especially Rabbeinu is explaining that Avi Avot HaTum'ah of Tum'at Met, it's a person that has been, how you said, Nagua, infected in lust for women. Ta'avat Ni'uf, it's Avi Avot HaTum'ah. Real righteous people that are purifying themselves so much from that lust for women, they're not meim anymore. They're very holy. Very, very holy. It's a spiritual thing. Very spiritual.
What about a communal towel that they have downstairs?
So we talked about it. If it's soaked, don't use it. So don't use them. What? For an example, if now a person made Netilat Yadayim of the morning, a third, and he's doing only three times, and the water are contaminated. Now he's soaking them in the towel. If there is one person like that, so it's okay. If you're gonna touch the towel, you're not gonna touch the water. It's not water anymore. It's moist.
So which level of tumah is in his hand from sleep?
It's not in the rules of contamination of third, first, second, third, fourth. It's a different kind of tumah. This is tumah of shena, of sleep. Tumah of Shena, this is why, just that you're going to know, Rav Shalom told me that it's not allowed to pour the water of Netilat Yadayim into the toilet, just only to the sink. Why? Because the Tumah is not in the water, it's hovering above the water, the contamination. So if now you pour the water into the toilet and you're sitting to do your needs, this is it. Say goodbye.
Interesting. I didn't know.
Rav Shalom told me that. I didn't know that also. But Rav Shalom himself told me that. For an example, there are different halachot between contamination, between how to make Netilat Yadayim. If now someone touched the water. Touch the water without doing Netilat Yadayim first. It means he tried to take the full Natla and he put his thumb in the finger into the cup, into the Natla. And now he's taking the Natla like that. Now, what's going on with the water? The water for Netilat Yadayim, for a meal, it's allowed, no problem. For a meal, if you took the Natla like that with the finger inside, you remove your finger and you make Netilat Yadayim for bread, it's allowed. But for the morning, if you haven't washed your hands before, and your hands now are contaminated from the sleep, it's also close to Tum'at Met, because the sleep is one of 60 in death, Echad b'shishim b'mita. So, the water are contaminated. This is why we're not allowed to. So we're not allowed to use those water to make netilah at the time of the morning, because you're making netilah with contaminated hands. It's a very important halachot for parents, for grandfathers, to help their grandsons, to help their sons, to make netilah at the time, to teach them purity, to teach them how to purify the hands. It can be that a boy that never learns, he never gonna make netilat yadayim until he's gonna learn it. Maybe if he's gonna have the merit to keep on sitting and learning until the age of 17 or 18, we're gonna sit to learn Mishnah Brura, and then he's gonna wake up. Hopefully.
Can you just quickly review it?
That you're not allowed to touch the water.
I mean, for
how to make the netilat yadayim. So you fill the cup and then you're holding it, you're lifting it with your right hand, and not touching the water, chas v'shalom. Passing it to the left hand, and now you're forcing the left hand, that is the side of Sitra Achra, that is the side of judgments, to purify the right hand. You're forcing the left. You first purify the right hand. You're pouring the water with the left hand in the beginning, on the right hand, and you're forcing the left to help the right. And then you're taking it with the right hand and purify the left. And like that you're doing 4 times. There are people that are doing it only 3, and they have to wash it very much, to dry their hands very, very much. But I think that it's better to do 4 times. It doesn't mean that it's not kosher la'alacha to do only 3. It is kosher la'alacha to do only 3. But if you know that it's so, it's not that hard to do 4, and it can
eight,
just help you.
Eight.
Totally, four, it's going to be 8. 4 on every hand, or 3 on every hand. Leserugin. First of all, purifying the right, and then the left, right, left, right, left, right, left, and this is it. And then you dry the hands, of course, in a towel. If you don't have a towel, you wait, and you're not allowed to wash your hands with that water, and not nothing. First of all, dry your hands. It's written, I read it in one book, I don't remember the author, the righteous author, or the book's name, but he said over there, that why it's written that it's not allowed, I think this is how that he put things, why it's not allowed to look at the face of a rasha. A rasha, it's a person that is not keeping Torah mitzvot. So for sure he haven't made netilat yadayim in the morning. And if he is not making netilat yadayim, for sure he's going to clean his eyes, like every man in the world is cleaning his eyes in the morning. And he's passing the contamination into his eyes, and when you're looking into his eyes, he's contaminating you with his eyesight. We're talking about purity, we're not talking about filth, we're not talking about mud, about dirt, we're talking about contamination. Too much different rules. Different rules. Different rules of contamination. So, and we still have contamination and purity in this world. It's not allowed to do things that contaminate the soul of the person.
You wake up in the morning, you can touch something before, you have to wash first.
First, you have to wash your hands.
So when the first alarm clock is ringing,
People are doing it. Actually, to do the minimum that you can do on the way to wash your hands.
Because it's more careful to touch yourself.
Not to touch yourself. It's written in the Holy Gemara, and I cannot explain it to you. It's written in the Holy Gemara that it's better to cut your hand than to touch your hand before of Netilat Yadayim. It's better to poke your eye than to touch your eye before of Netilat Yadayim. It's better to cut your all of the organs, the brit, before of, if you, and not to touch it without Netilat Yadayim. People in the morning, a lot of people are falling in that they're going first of all to the bathroom, first of all. And they can touch themselves over there. And it's written that it's better to cut the organ if you're going to touch it without netilat yadayim. It's very hard. I'm not saying that it's halakha lemaaser rabbos, I just understand the importance of it. Just understand how much damage it can help give to the person. We don't understand those things. A person just now went in the street and he saw a woman and he's so attracted to her. You don't know what it's going to cause you in the future. The fight that you can have 3 days from now with someone, with your wife, with your kids, I don't know, you can say to your kids, I'm going to break your head, I don't know what. It's got a source. And you don't know what's the source. If you're going to do long, long it, but the lot of investigations, you're going to realize what the source is. But if not, just you should know that there is a source. The source is a sin, a certain sin. So you check yourself, what's going on? People that are attracted after bad things or doing bad things, they have accidents after it. They have accidents. Someone have mikre laila, sit with no purpose in the middle of the night, horrible dreams, nightmares. There is a source to that. The source is something that you've done. Everything is with justice. Maybe you're netilat yadayim, maybe you have bad eyesight, maybe you're eating without blessing, maybe you're talking lashon hara, you're cursing people, maybe this, maybe that, maybe you're thinking bad thoughts, maybe you hate someone. It's not lo tisnei et achicha bilvavecha. It's not allowed to hate your brother even in your heart. It means even in your thoughts. When you don't say nothing to him, but you hate him. And if you hate your wife once in a while, if you feel like you hate her once in a while, mamash, once in 3 months, all right? Let's be gentle. Now, you're breaking a prohibition. You're canceling a prohibition, isur, a very important isur. Lo tisnei et achicha bilvavecha. You contaminated your heart in a moment. You have lust for women. No'ef isha chasar lev. Someone that have ta'avat ni'uf for women, he doesn't have a heart. He doesn't have a heart means contaminated heart. He's God.
Is any different to have lots of women and lots of wives?
Yes. That in both cases, a person is not allowed to have no lust and no desire. The difference is that can be more contaminated if a person is going with more women. But if a person also with his own wife can contaminate his neshama in a horrible way. Horrible way. People that are dragged after that lust, their life is like a nightmare. Even if they're learning Torah all day long, their life is like a nightmare. They're slaves. They're slaves. They always have to satisfy their wives and to please their wives, and that their wife will never going to be angry, and he cares so much, and he's afraid. He's afraid from his wife. His wife going to control his life. His wife going to control his life if he's got lust for her, for his wife. She's going to control his life. It's written, Ve'el ishech tshukatech, the wife, she's got the desire for her husband, Ve'hu imshol bach, and he's going to control on you. Ve'el ishech tshukatech, Ve'hu imshol bach, and he's going to control on you. When he's going to control on you? When you, the wife, the woman, got a desire for your husband. But if the husband have a desire for the wife cannot bear her husband. And he will not going to control her, she's going to control him. This is why people have domestic problems in Shalom Bayit. Because they're attracted like animals, like dogs, to their wives. And they cannot, they see the wife. She went into the shower, now I become to be crazy. She's this, she's that, she's wearing new dress, new shirt. He's getting crazy, all wild, like an animal. He is losing all of his control. He's losing all of his power. And she becomes to be the leader of the house, and she hates it, because she also needs a leader. She got married to have someone to help her. And she hates it. She wants to die. And her source for all of her issues, it's him. She hates him. He's acting like a female. Like a woman. And she hates him. Why you don't know to give me an advice? Why you can never help me? Why you don't do this? Why don't... She's screaming because she doesn't know what to do. And it's all because that you have lust for her. And you put her to be above you, beyond you. You crowned her. Not with honor. Just you become to be needed to her. You have to have her. Someone came to me a few weeks ago, said to me that he's soon going to divorce, and what he's going to do, he have to get married again. I told him, it's the third time that you're going to get married. What do you want? Be a bachelor for a certain time. Be pure and clean yourself. What do you need? Get married again. You're breaking a house after a house. What do you want to get married again? He said, no, but look, man, I need to have a wife. I told him, why you need to have a wife? What's going on with you? People have lust for women. You have to have zera lebatana, batala. You just have to finish. You have to ligmor. You have to. It's crazy. You're sick in your mind. You're like an animal. You have to sleep with someone. What's going on? You're sick. You have a disease, a mental disease, a physical disease.
you have to go to a doctor, you have to go to a therapist, you have to go to the field, you have to do tshuva. You have to clean yourself. What's going on? What are you attracted to? To toilet, to bathroom, to what? To the place that you do small ones from? What are you attracted to? To kiss, to hug, to smell? What there is in it? What? What? You have a problem that you're sick. You have to touch it. You have to feel it. To look at it. What there is in it? It's empty. You're chasing after nothing, after your imagination. Actually, you're imagining that there is a satisfaction over it. If you're going to investigate, you're going to see that actually you're suffering. There is no satisfaction at all. You're losing your power of life, a source of life. When the seed comes out from the man, he is losing part of his neshama. You gave that neshama to someone else. If a boy, a girl is going to come out from it, wonderful. You sacrificed part of your neshama and you gave it to your son. Great. But if someone else is taking it, so you lost it. You lost part of your neshama. And you feel horrible satisfaction. It's not a satisfaction at all. It's like someone that is drug addict. And is using drug and he feels satisfaction. Because it is losing. Now the falling is satisfying him. The lost is satisfying him.
How will you have a kid if you don't...
Alright, so I said, you said sacrifice. You sacrifice. The righteous people were with the wives... the number of kids that they had. Rabbi Nachman Breslev, it's a known thing that he was with his wife, the number of kids that he's got, that he had. Rabbi Shmuel Shapira, it's a known thing that his wife couldn't understand that she's married to a righteous man, Rabbi Shmuel Shapira. She couldn't realize that. She went to the Badat Tzedak Haredit and she complained, she wanted to divorce him. He wasn't spending time with her at all. Only once in a few months, mamash, in a few years he was coming. And she came to the Badats and crying, I don't know what to do. So they investigated, they asked her, who is your husband, what's going on, what he's doing. Conclusion, they told her, listen, sorry to tell you, but you're married to a righteous man. And he's not into all of those nonsense that you're into. We understand your pain, your sorrow, but the Maaseh is not there. That huge righteous man was going, if it was night of Tashmish, before he had to be with his wife, he was screaming all night long in Me'arat Tzidkiyahu, here and over there in Me'arat Tzidkiyahu, it was open. He was screaming all night long until that he was puking blood. Night after night and he was screaming, Hashem, don't take my neshama. Hashem, don't take my neshama. He was screaming, puking blood. They realized what they're doing. You have a prohibition of lust. Lust is not allowed. No kind of lust is allowed. You have your difficulties, you say, hey, it's too much, it's too hard. All right, I understand you, but you're damaging yourself. You have to understand it. So there are ways to climb out from all of that filth. And we have to do it step after step, step by step, and slowly, slowly, and not to kill ourselves in one day. All right, no this, no that, to be like a monk, like a Nazir. And all right, and then you become to be even weirder and crazier. All right, so it's not the right way at all. We understand. It's a process. But meanwhile, to be aware to the truth, who you really are. What really are your issues, your problems. You have lust and you're getting so crazy and so wild because of nothing. So, hey. Take responsibility on yourself. Check yourself. What's going on? Why am I getting so crazy? I saw a red dress. I saw a short skirt. I don't know why. I saw legs of a woman. All legs are the same. All everything is the same. It's all the same. There's nothing into it. A man can be with an animal. It's all crazy. It's a shtuyot. Sick people are going and being with animals. It's craziness. But it's all the same. A person can be with himself. You know that. So if you can be with yourself, so you can be with everything. It's the most imagination is the person that goes to be with himself. It's the maximum of imagination. He's imagining that he's got something and he doesn't have nothing in his hands and he's just ruining his life. It's the sickest person in the world and he's not aware of that because it's normal today. A person have a little bit of stress, this is it. You're sick. You live in an imaginary world. You're telling stories to yourself like everything is good and you're sick, you're totally sick. People have to take that sickness to Hashem.
to reveal your contamination to the Kohen, to the righteous man of the generation, to admit, to confess, to reveal it, to say, Ribono Shel Olam, I'm sick. I'm sick. And when I know that I'm sick, the Kohen, the righteous man, can purify it, can judge you to Kafzut, and to start healing you, to help you a little bit more and more and more. And we have a lot to reveal. We have a lot to confess on. A lot to confess on. And not that Hashem haven't forgiven us and everything, but we have psychological issues. We have problems that we're stuck in those lusts and desires. This is why we have to confess so much. Not because that it takes time to do tshuva. For us, it takes time to change our status, to change our habits. This is why we need to do a lot of tshuva. And also the tshuva, not more than 1 hour a day. It's not allowed to do more than 1 hour a day, like Rabbeinu said. It's allowed to do longer itbodeduyot. It's allowed to talk 6, 7, 18 hours in the field. It's allowed to pray. It's allowed. Rabbi Yochanan said in the Gemara, "Velevai vitpalel adam kol hayom kulo." Wish that the man is going to pray all day long. Great. But to confess, to cry, on tshuva, not more than 1 hour.
Is it an obligation to our wives, right? Ona.
What it means, ona? What's the translation of the word ona? Her time, season, her time. Onata. It's onata lo tigra. Her time, you're not allowed to stop her from having you when she wants you. This is the halacha. Understand? You understand also what I mean? Meant that you cannot want nothing. There is no mitzvah that you're going to want.
To make her happy.
The only satisfaction, the Bala Sulam wrote, the only satisfaction that a man, a male, allowed to have when he's with his wife, it's the satisfaction, the happiness, the joy from the fact that she's happy. And no other satisfaction, no physical satisfaction is allowed. No. Point, nekuda, dot, this is it. Not allowed.
Okay, what was the taina of Robertson Shapira? He wasn't being with her at her time.
Also,
with him.
Also, yes.
Moshe Rabbeinu.
Also.
Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah. Same idea, right. Moshe Rabbeinu, right. That was the time of Tzipora. Right?
There are righteous people that for them to shrink themselves, to close themselves in regular life, it's too hard. Rabbanit Cook, she was crying to Rav Shalom on her husband, Rav Dov Cook, that he is not eating. That he's standing hours and hours prayers in Tfilot and he's not eating and she cannot bear it. She don't know what to do. Her husband! She feels like he's hungry. Like she's suffering. All day long he's praying. Shachrit until noon. Mincha until midnight. Midnight is starting Mayriv until Netzchama, until Shachrit. Every day, hours and hours, something like 10, 12, 13 hours a day, standing Shmona Esre. And his wife cannot stand it, even though that she is a very holy, famous Rabbitson, and very holy, reading the Tehillim all day long, and prayers and classes, wide world, mamash, all over Eretz Israel, going, coming back, in and out. And she cannot stand it. She told the Rav Shalom, I don't know what to do, he's doing Kiddush, he's making Kiddush at 12 at night, he's coming to do Kiddush. He's eating something small and this is it. Rav Shalom comforted her. He told her, listen, you have to know that your husband is nurturing, he's eating and satisfying himself from the tefillah. Like that it's written, tefillah le'el chayai. He's receiving his food, his needs, while he's praying. He's receiving the chiyut, the life, from the tefillah. Lo al alev elechem levado yichya adam. Not on the bread alone, the man gonna live. Ki mal kol motza pi Hashem. Just on all other things that Hashem is saying, means that Hashem can say that you're gonna receive your food. Moshe Rabbeinu, 120 days and nights, he wasn't eating and wasn't drinking and wasn't sleeping, nothing, and he was alive. And not only alive, healthy, strong. It's written, he's the only one that it's written on him that when he was 120, his eyes were perfect and all his organs were perfect. He was perfect from the health aspect. His teeth, everything. Why? Because he was perfect vessel to receive the light of Hashem. Us that we're not perfect, we have to do Hishtadluyot.
We have to complete ourselves. Like we're saying, in the, all of the brachot, we're completing ourselves with the food. בורא נפשות רבות וחסרונן, creating spirits with their lackings. And על כל מה שבראת לאחד בהם נפש כל חי, thank you that you're reviving us with those spirits that stuck in food. Means we have horrible lackings, and we have to, this is a hungry man. You have to, he's got a debt, he's got something that you have to fulfill. So he's chasing and chasing and chasing, and another woman, another woman, another woman, and he's just losing more and more and more. Another food, another food, another meat, another steak, another this, another that. And you're just losing your kedusha. You're chasing after something that you're never going to have it. This is the trick of Yetzer Hara. The trick, all of us. Is it a Gemara shiur?
That's true,